Communication Medium, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests. And today we hope we're going to have Pastor David Whitney with us to talk about the Constitution. David, are you there by any chance? Well, I guess not. So let's just talk a little bit about why America is different than any other country in the world, and why America is a Christian nation. Now, certainly people can argue back and forth. They say, well, it doesn't say anything about Christianity in the Constitution, and we'd simply point out that, yes, it does. It was signed on the day of our Lord, and we're acknowledging that God was important. It talks about oaths, and who are you going to swear an oath to if you don't swear an oath to God? It talks about in the Constitution that the president will have so many days to sign legislation accepting Sunday. And why would they accept Sunday? Because that was the Lord's Day, and everybody knew that. But the reason we are a Christian nation really has nothing to do with the Constitution, because the Constitution basically says there will be no religious test at all as far as, holding public office. That was to be taken care of at the states and at the local community. We were a Christian nation because our founders were Christian, because the heritage of America was Christian, because the people who came here initially on the Mayflower were Christians, and, of course, because all of our institutions were based upon Christianity. And if you, for instance, go to the Supreme Court, they certainly open their prayer, open every session, every day, when the choir comes in and says, God save the United States and this noble court, or this righteous court, some words to that effect. All right, fine. And certainly you're there over the entrance to the Supreme Court building on the beam up above where the justices sit is a replica of the Ten Commandments. And, of course, all of these were foundational to the very concept that America was founded on. For as James Madison had said so well, our form of government was made only for a moral and religious people, and it wouldn't work for any other. And our founding fathers believed that we had to be able to govern ourselves. And if we could govern ourselves and take care of ourselves and provide for ourselves and help our neighbors, then we could have a limited form of government. If not, we were going to have a tyrant. And as William Penn had said so well, those will not be ruled by God, will be ruled by tyrants. Well, you must understand that it is because of the fact that we have limited government and we had moral people that they set out to destroy the moral foundation of this country many years ago. And the Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation, the Carnegie Foundation began funding all of these efforts to destroy the moral fabric of our society and shift ever more power to government as we move from a situation where we had limited government to a point where we had tyrannical government. Because there really are people who hate Christianity, and there really are people who hate freedom, and there really are people who would reject the sovereignty of our nation. Well, with that as a background, our special guest from the Institute of the Constitution has arrived. He's running as a political candidate for the parliament there. Mark, I suppose it's what the state assembly, David, you're running for?
That's right. The House, there's a bicameral legislature for the state of Maryland, so the House of Delegates is the seat I'm running for, and it's quite a race. And it's interesting to listen to all the other candidates when I meet in a candidate forum and so forth. Even the Republicans who are supposedly conservative, or definitely some of them are very pro-life, and they may be right on the issue of gay marriage, that they think is an oxymoron to even talk about such things. And yet, when it comes to what the purpose of government is and what government's function should be, there is huge gaps in their thinking. They do not understand our founders' view of law and government. And that's what we at Institute on the Constitution are teaching people all across America.
All right, fine. We're going to be back in just a moment with Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution.
Hey folks, Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used Pure Soap? I mean the hard to find kind that's all natural and not full of corrosive toxins and chemicals and detergents that just dry out your skin and have been connected to very serious health problems. Let me tell you something about the Calbin Pure Soap Company. There's a 100% unconditional guarantee on all their wonderful products. They're all natural, they're triple concentrated, they're factory direct, factory owned, and operated since 1947. Earth-friendly Pure Soaps for bathing, laundry, and kitchen. Try Pure Soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else. Now for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory direct to you and your family. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin Soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared, but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout, developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
This is Jack Blood with the Genesis Radio Network. I have an urgent message for all of our listeners. The mass media keeps telling us that we are the richest, most powerful economy in the world, quote unquote. If this is true, why can't we pay our bills? Why is the United States the world's largest debtor nation? The truth is that we are in the worst debt bubble in our nation's history. When the bubble bursts, will you be able to feed your family? When the inevitable crash occurs, will you be ready? Call Whitehurst International at 1-888-892-6238. That's 1-888-892-6238 for the following two free reports. U.S. debt bubble, red alert, and real estate crash. Call 888-8-XANADU. That's 888-8-XANADU. And ask for George.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest today is Pastor David Whitney of the Institute of the Constitution. David, you pick up the story there.
Well, we've been talking about the Constitution itself and looked at all seven articles of the Constitution, and we've now stepped to the next chapter of the story, and that is the Bill of Rights, as we discussed earlier. As the ratification debates took place in all 13 states, as they looked at the details that had been drafted by the Constitutional Convention, one clear objection came across the board, just about everywhere, that they objected to the fact that there was not a Bill of Rights. They had English history here on their side. There was an Englishman's Bill of Rights, and so they were demanding that a Bill of Rights be crafted as soon as the Constitution was ratified. So after the Constitution was ratified, the states had all submitted their ideas, and Congress went to work and looked at the amendments, whittled them down to 12 amendments, 10 of which passed altogether and were ratified by the states. The 11th has never been ratified. The 12th, oddly enough, we'll deal that when we get to it, actually was not ratified at that time, but, in 1993, and became the 27th Amendment, which is highly unusual that hundreds of years later, that one was actually ratified. The thing to remember about each of the first 10 amendments, what are called the Bill of Rights, each of those amendments limits federal power. In a sense, you could look at the Constitution this way. The seven articles of the Constitution talk about what the federal government can do. These are the things that it is permitted to do. The Bill of Rights are saying this is what the federal government cannot do. In a sense, you could visualize a picture of a fortress, really, with thick, strong, high walls surrounding a field. In that field, inside those high, thick walls, is the jurisdiction of the federal government. This is what the federal government is permitted to do, only these things. To prevent the federal government from becoming tyrannical and breaking through the boundaries established around it, that's the purpose of the Bill of Rights. So the Bill of Rights is like four thick, high, impregnable walls designed to keep the federal government within its proper domain of jurisdiction and restrict it from exercising power beyond what it legitimately has been granted by we the people in our contract with them, which is the Constitution. Well, in contrast with the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments, we're going to see when we move to the 11th Amendment through the 27th, most of those amendments expand federal power. In other words, most of those amendments beyond the first 10 are designed in one way, shape, or form to undermine that wall or to destroy or breach the wall in some places to allow the federal government to expand its power beyond what our founders designed it to function as.
And I really think our founding fathers realized that liberty and limited government were synonymous,
mm-hmm.
that tyranny and total government were synonymous. And as Thomas Jefferson said so well, you know, he was so concerned that, you know, the courts would, you know, gradually working like a thief by night, taking a little freedom here and a little freedom there, until eventually all power would be centralized in Washington, D.C., and we would have a government as venal as the one we just recently were separated from. The founding fathers of America feared the power of government because they knew it would be led by men who were inherently corrupt, and you could never allow government to have power. Now, certainly we have to take care of the poor, but we can do that at the local level, never at the federal level. We never had people, homeless people on the streets before we had all the federal government interference and all sorts of things. We never had the degree of poverty or the situation where you go into an emergency room today and you have to sit there for 6 or 8 hours, even if you're paying your bill, to get seen. Everything that the federal government has done has interfered with the situation. In fact, we never had our school systems and school shootings until we had the federal government make it a federal crime to carry a gun onto the campus. And, you know, some kids actually take guns onto the campus and violate the federal laws and kill people because they know they have nothing to worry about, because most people are going to obey the laws, and they're not going to have a weapon. So it's just like a shooting gallery. Every school in America is a shooting gallery because of federal legislation. So our founding fathers were pretty smart, weren't they, David?
They were. Their design was for a very limited central government. They actually designed it such that the state governments were stronger and had far more wide-ranging powers. Read Federalist Paper 45, for example, where it talks about the federal government having very limited and restricted powers, the state governments having far-ranging powers that we'll see when we talk about the 9th and 10th Amendment in particular, how important those were, because it was saying that the federal government has very few things that it can legitimately do. And as you just mentioned there, well, there's a whole long list of things when we looked at Article 1, Section 8 that says these are the only things the federal government can do, and we compare that with what the federal government is doing today, and there's a horrendous amount of violation of the Constitution, the Education Department being one you just mentioned there. The federal government has no business at all, according to the Constitution or the Bill of Rights, to have anything to do with the education of the children in any particular state whatsoever. And so all of that is unconstitutional. All of that's a violation of the supreme law of the land. Well, when we come to the First Amendment, and by the way, you need to be sure that they put these amendments in the order that they put them in for a very specific reason. They're in the order of importance. Just a year or so ago, I visited up in Philadelphia the National Constitution Center, which is a museum supposed to, you know, tell you all about the Constitution and whatnot. And they have a funny presentation, laughing, joking, and so forth about the ten amendments, the Bill of Rights. And they start with number 10, and they do a countdown, 10, 9, 8. That's totally inappropriate. The First Amendment is the first because it's first in importance. It's the most important amendment of all. In other words, if the government violates your rights in this area, it is violating the most important God-given rights that you have as a human being, and that is religious liberty. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. By the way, that establishment of religion means a state church, a church that is funded by the state, a church that is controlled by the state, a church that basically does what the state tells it to do. That was never to be what Congress was to do. Now, we need to pause there for a moment to say that that was a restriction only placed upon Congress, not placed upon the state of Maryland or Massachusetts or Virginia or California. Those original 13 states, 9 of those original states had established religions. There was the Established Church of Virginia. Taxpayers' dollars went to support the church. Established Church of Massachusetts and Connecticut and so on. 9 of the 13 had established religions. So our founders could never be saying this, that the states on their own, not the federal government, but the states on their own could not have an established religion. That is not the intent of their words, because when they signed this and ratified it into the Constitution as the Bill of Rights, there were state-established religions, and they had no objection to that. They were just saying Congress, that is the federal government, shall not establish a religion. There will be no national denomination as there was in England. They abhorred the kind of abusive power that the Church of England swayed over the whole of the British Empire. Instead, they saw that individual states having the freedom to establish religion left you as an individual freedom to choose which state you wanted to live with. Well, you didn't like the Anglican religion, maybe you were a Baptist. Well, if you're a Baptist, you'd probably be most comfortable in the state of Rhode Island. If you're a Congregationalist, probably in Connecticut or Massachusetts and so on. You could choose where you were going to live, in which state and state religion you were comfortable with. But it was never saying that the government on the state level could have no religious foundation or no religious import into anything it did, or nor were they ever saying that the state in its education system, if the state had a public education system, they were never saying that the state could not teach the children Christianity, even the particular denomination of one branch of Christianity. That every state was free to do. It was Congress alone that should make no law respecting an establishment of religion. And this freedom of religion is really a biblical concept. They were relying on the Old Testament concept that kings in the Old Testament always are derived from the tribe of Judah, where priests always came from the tribe of Levi. In other words, there is separate functions for civil government and religious government or church government. And the jurisdiction of the church is separate from the jurisdiction of the state, as the state from the church. So it's not that there's a separation, that there's no influence that Christianity has upon the state, but it's that the state is not to take over the functions of the church and the jurisdiction of the church, nor is the church to take over the function and jurisdiction of the state. And, of course, when we look at the New Testament, Jesus established this principle clearly as well. When he was asked the question by lawyers, you know, should they pay taxes? And he asked, well, show me a denarius. So show me a coin. And they did. And he said, whose image is on that? And they said, well, Caesar's image. So Jesus replied, render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. So there's a clear principle Jesus is establishing here. He's saying Caesar, that is the civil government, has a jurisdiction, but that jurisdiction is limited. It is not all expansive. It is defined by God's law as to what the civil government can rightfully rule over. And the civil government, therefore, derives its authority from God, but it cannot break the boundaries that God has established around civil government and enclose civil government in. Take an example, a very current example today of the idea of gay marriage. Well, that's an oxymoron, because it's neither gay nor is it marriage. Just a week ago, I was on a radio station here in Baltimore debating a lesbian who was advocating gay marriage, and I kept repeating that you cannot change the law of the universe. Marriage is between one man and one woman. The Creator made it that way, and the founders of our country built our legal system on the laws of nature and nature's God. That is the God of the Bible, and you can't change His law.
Amen to that. Well, I think it's important that people understand that, you know, the whole idea of our nation was to limit what the federal government can do, and look where we are today. And the reason this is happening is because the American people don't understand our Constitution, and that we have traitors work at the highest levels of our government who would destroy our sovereignty, destroy our freedom. and enslave our people. We'll be right back. Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, here for the 2007 Red Book. The commodity markets like gold, silver, copper, aluminum, and oil have exploded over the last year. This is a glaring testimony of how quickly the U.S. dollar can be devalued. Many have turned to precious metals to provide a safe haven while increasing the potential profits. Though accumulating precious metals has been a proven method for the storage of wealth, it is important that you understand the market you are getting into. Midas Resources is offering the Red Book and Silver Dollar for only $27.95. The Red Book is the number one best-selling guide to gold and silver coins. Call for your copy today. It's 800-686-2237. If you've already accumulated or plan to get into the precious metals market, you simply must have the Red Book in your library. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you can have greater exposure to these chemicals by taking hot showers than when you drink the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate, and others are absorbed through the skin. The KDF shower filter is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus in your shower. The media is non-toxic, environmentally sound, and is recyclable. The KDF shower filter will typically last 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF shower filter, normally $49, for our special price of only $35, a $14 savings. Call now to order at 1-888-803-4438. Order today and save $14 by calling 1-888-803-4438.
Hello, this is Amy Bjorklund. Are you totally satisfied with the nourishment you're getting? Do you have enough energy to do everything you really want to do? And are you content to remain in your current state of health indefinitely? Have you already tried diets, exercise, vitamins, juicing, or the latest, greatest nutritional wonder products? Perhaps those things have grown tiresome and not made you feel and look as well as you'd really like to. But what if you found from a single source the world's freshest, purest, most complete, whole, live food nourishment that tastes delicious and couldn't be any easier to consume? Well, you just did. So don't hesitate. Take the living energy you've always wanted from your nutrition right now. Visit truthandexcellence.com, click the Truth and Excellence banner on gcnlive.com, or call me, Amy Bjorklund, personally at 805-595-2711. 805-595-2711.
Well, I stand back here. Of course, we've got the Pastor David Whitney with us. We're talking about this amazing Constitution we have, which is the foundation of our freedom, and there are people who hate it. I mean, if you read articles like the one by a Rhodes Scholar and certainly member of the Council on Foreign Relations, Richard Gardner, back in 1974, writing in the Foreign Affairs magazine, he talks about how we're going to have to do an end run around the Constitution. Why? Because it restricts the ideas of these people who would destroy our sovereignty and destroy our nation. They are dedicated to world government, and they have to centralize all power in Washington, D.C., and established police state powers, which there is no justification for in our Constitution. Matters dealing with life, liberty, property, and the police were all to be state and local affairs. There is no justification for the FBI. There is no justification for the CIA. There is no justification for the 14 intelligence agencies that exist in the United States today spying on the American people. And they were all put in because, oh, we had those wicked communists. We were going to have to defend ourselves against the threat of communism. And yet, if you study the material available to Radio Liberty, you'll find out that the threat of communism was contrived. The United States and our banks and our corporations financed Bolshevism from its inception in Russia, and of course the great foundations finance the activities of the communist movement here in the United States, and they're still financing it. So understand that the only bulwark of our freedom is in our Constitution that limits the power of the federal government. Too bad that people have forgotten that. Go ahead, David.
Well, our founders understood that all law is based upon values, moral values, which have their roots in religion. When I was debating the lesbian last week, she kept wanting to say, well, wait a minute, you're bringing up religious arguments, you're bringing up the Bible, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, wait a minute, what's your foundation of law? I kept challenging her. Why is it unlawful for me to steal your pocketbook? Why is it unlawful for me to steal your car? Well, that's property rights. Where do property rights come from? Well, we've all just agreed that, you know, you have property rights. Oh, yeah? Well, the Supreme Court agrees that government can steal your property now. So if you don't have a fixed external standard, God's law, there is no safety for anyone's rights to property or liberty or even their own life or any of their freedoms are restricted. Well, if you look at the colonial charters of each of the states, each of the colonies that ultimately became the states, you'll see that they all acknowledged that God was the source of law. God was the source of all governmental authorities. Governments existed because God had ordained governments. And then in the American climate, there was a move towards liberty, religious liberty, that is, because of a sense that was taking place in the First Great Awakening, the revival of the 1740s, it led many to leave the established Church of England, which was one of the largest denominations, you would say, in the colonies at that point in time. So the Great Awakening caused many to join the dissenting peoples, dissenting against the Church of England, Presbyterians and Methodists and Baptists and so forth. And all of these groups objected to supporting the Church of England, and Madison and Henry, for example, Patrick Henry, were defending Baptists who were accused of preaching without a license from the state of Virginia, and some of them beaten to death for refusing to receive a license in order to preach the gospel. And this led them to press for religious liberty in Virginia, which certainly set the stage for our First Amendment. The other aspect of this is that there was a great concern that led up to our war for independence, that there was talk in England, in the circles of the king as well as the circles of Parliament, of installing an archbishop over the colonies. And this everyone dreaded because they knew what an archbishop was chosen for. He was chosen specifically to persecute the nonconformist believers. That is, if you didn't conform to the Church of England, he'd go after you, whip you to death, as Patrick Henry witnessed the Baptist preacher being whipped to death there in Culpeper, Virginia. So they knew that that's what would happen, and that was part of one of the unspoken, at least most historians never talk about this, one of the unspoken reasons for the War for Independence. They would not tolerate being forced into the Church of England by an archbishop being installed over the colonies, which was a threat that was being spoken of. And they recognized that the problem of giving one church national prominence like that is a very dangerous thing. It's better to have a system where there's allowance for competition between denominations. Therefore, that should be at the state level. The states can choose to have an established church or not to have an established church. That's the business of the state, not the business of the federal government. Well, let's look at the meaning of the Establishment Clause. Today, well, actually, we'll do it after the break, but today most people believe what is a myth, that the Constitution contains the phrase, a wall of separation between church and state, which it does not. Anywhere in any part of the Constitution or Bill of Rights.
But it doesn't matter how ridiculous something is. If authorities say it over and over again, sooner or later people come to believe We'll be right back here with Pastor David Whitby of the Institute on the Constitution.
Order a copy of this show for your friends and family at GCNLive.com or call 877-300-7645.
Hello, this is Amy Bjorklund. Thanks to a quantum leap in garlic research, the health benefits of 20 fresh garlic cloves are now available in one tiny capsule. With stabilized allicin, the proven power of garlic has been transformed into what is perhaps the most important medicinal product ever developed, and there's no odor. Stabilized allicin gives you and your family a safe, natural weapon that kills harmful bacteria, viruses, and funguses, all without harming the friendly bacteria in the digestive tract. This means strong immunity, fewer and shorter colds, and the best possible protection from deadly diseases, none of which prescription drugs can offer. What's more, this product can deter mosquitoes from biting you and safely keep fleas and ticks off your pets. Visit truthandexcellence.com, click the Truth and Excellence banner on GCNLive.com, or call me, Amy Bjorklund, personally at 805-595-2711. 805-595-2711.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you can have greater exposure to these chemicals by taking hot showers than when you drink the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate, and others are absorbed through the skin. The KDF shower filter is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus in your shower. The media is non-toxic, environmentally sound, and is recyclable. The KDF shower filter will typically last 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF shower filter, normally $49, for our special price of only $35, a $14 savings. Call now to order at 1-888-803-4438. Order today and save $14 by calling 1-888-803-4438.
When you're looking to build a new facility, there's a lot riding on your shoulders. You have to get a structure that meets your needs. You need one that's built to last. You need to get it built quickly, and most importantly, you need it to stay within budget. What you need is a pre-engineered steel building from Anthem Steel. You won't believe how much you'll save in both time and money with a brand new, built-to-last steel building. For free information on how you can get the building you need with less time and money, call 1-800-339-1700. You can even customize your building. You select the size, you select the style. You can even choose to add the look of brick, stucco, or stone. Building a new facility is a big responsibility. Make it easier by calling Anthem Steel. Achieve your goals faster and with less strain on your budget. For free information, call Anthem Steel at 1-800-339-1700. Call Anthem Steel today, 1-800-339-1700. That's 1-800-339-1700.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network. And before we go on, David, I'd like you to get your telephone number out, your website, so people would know how to get in touch with the Institute of the Constitution so that they can get a packet, so that they can start setting up classes at their community, at their home, in their church, where they can begin to teach the American people of the most carefully kept secret in America, and that is of the story of the American Constitution. And that has been carefully concealed from the American people for well over a generation.
We've put together what we call a host kit because you're not actually the one teaching the Constitution. Dr. John Eismo on either VHS or DVD, depending on which system you need. The host kit contains everything you need to put on a class. It's designed to be 12 separate lectures that can be done in 12 sessions, or actually shorter if you want to double them up. But this host kit communicates everything a person needs to have a working knowledge of the Declaration, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and an understanding, most importantly of all, of the biblical foundations of law and government, which our founders stated explicitly was their purpose. America was founded as a Christian nation. Most people believe the lies of this, what we're talking about right here, the separation of wall of separation between church and state. They believe that lie. But if you study our founders, you discover it was a lie, and we can recover our republic. We are not a democracy. We are a republic, a constitutional, I would say a Christian republic, because as we'll see here in a few moments, they were stating explicitly that it was Christianity that is the foundation of our nation. And as you've mentioned, those who hate Jesus Christ and hate Christianity have been working hard to destroy this Christian constitutional republic. Well, people can order our host kit by calling us toll-free. That number is 866-730-9796. We give that again. Our toll-free number to order a host kit is 866-730-9796. Or if they want to go online and shop at our online store, the website is iotconline.com. That's iotconline.com, standing for Institute on the Constitution, online.com. And I'm encouraged, we now have in 50 states of the Union, in other words, every single state of the Union, there's at least one class being conducted, one class being hosted. Many states have multiple classes, and I've traveled around the country. Graduating class has been very encouraged. Some people are running for office after having taken the class, which is what I'm doing as a result of studying this material and teaching this material. I'm now running for office. We're encouraged here in Maryland for the first time in our state's history. We have 18 people who, having graduated from Institute on the Constitution, who are running for office on the state as well as on the federal level. And if we sweep the country with this truth and by grassroots means raise up people who understand this and who will support candidates who definitely hold to our founders' view of law and government, we can take our nation back from the tyrants, from the God-haters, from those who want socialism or communism, whatever you want to call it, those who ultimately want a tyranny over we, the people. We can stop them from their plans, but it's going to take us first educating ourselves and our families and especially our church community. All those who are believers should study this material and understand it, and then also educating the wider circle of people in our community. We can raise up a grassroots movement and take our nation back from the tyrants.
All right, fine. And how are they going to be able to get in touch with you?
That's our toll-free number, 866-730-9796, or going to our web store on the website is iotconline.com.
One more time, the telephone number.
That's toll-free, 866-730-9796.
All right, fine. I think it's vitally important, ladies and gentlemen, that whether your children live in a free society or in a slave society as serfs, depends on what you are willing to do now to try to re-educate our people. You see, the one thing that they hate, and I'm speaking of people within the ruling elite, they hate the Constitution, and that's why they've done everything to prevent it from being taught in their schools and in our colleges or in our law schools or... And most of the things I've learned about the Constitution, I learned after I got out of college, after I minored in history, and when I went to the University of California and got a Phi Beta Kappa Key. I wasn't educated, I was indoctrinated. And when you begin to understand that that was 50 years ago, I'm over 50 years ago, I graduated from the University of California in Berkeley, was 1949, that's won't be long before it's 60 years. But understand that it's gone on ever since then. You've got to learn this, and then you've got to start teaching it. It is the most important thing that you can possibly do if you value freedom. So go ahead. David, pick the story up from there.
Okay. Well, the meaning of the Establishment Clause is not a wall of separation between church and state. It occurs nowhere in the Constitution. It occurs in a letter Thomas Jefferson penned in 1803, 14 years after the First Amendment was adopted. And by the way, Thomas Jefferson was not present in the discussions leading up to the adoption of the First Amendment because he was in France representing us as an ambassador in France. He had no direct hand in the First Amendment. Therefore, his phrase needs to be understood in the context of the letter. If you read the whole letter, and by the way, throughout the history of our nation, this letter has been quoted in several Supreme Court decisions. The whole letter was quoted, not just a portion of the letter, but it was 1947, and then many succeeding Supreme Court cases only quoted this phrase, a wall of separation between church and state. If you go back and study Jefferson's letter, you'll see he was promising the people he was writing to, Baptists in Connecticut, by the way, he was promising them that the federal government had no power to interfere with their church. The federal government had no place. The First Amendment prevented them because the First Amendment erected a wall that prevented the government from interfering in the life and ministry and the going on in the church. It would have nothing to do in the church. Well, you wonder, if those who spout the wall of separation, which many, many people do today, when you think about the image of a wall, that if you even were to follow their interpretation, that wall of separation would prevent the church from interfering with the state and would prevent the state from interfering with the church. Isn't that right? Well, why then is the state free to daily interfere with the church, as it does in all sorts of regulations, in 501c3 churches, that is, at least, or incorporated churches? The state involves itself and interferes all the time. Why? Churches have fallen down and bowed to the state, and now through the 501c3 as well as incorporation, they've allowed the state to interfere with the church, but they got a devil's agreement. They got no agreement that the church could influence the state. As a matter of fact, when they accepted the 501c3 or incorporation, they got a gag on their mouth that said they could not say anything that could be construed politically to advance not only a candidate, but to advance any piece of legislation. Most churches don't realize that when they accepted a 501c3, they basically surrendered their First Amendment right as a church to the government, and now they've got a government gag that prevents them from actually speaking out on the moral issues and the political issues of our day, which is why most of the churches in America are silent on these most important things, which is why my church, Cornerstone, is neither a 501c3, nor is it incorporated. And actually, I just completed a lecture that IOTC, Institute on the Constitution, now makes available on our web store if people are interested in further exploring that whole subject of why a church should not be incorporated or 501c3. Well, that's the wrong interpretation of the First Amendment, wall of separation between church and state. Instead, if you read what those who were involved in crafting the First Amendment said, we have a proper understanding of it. For example, James Madison, he explained on the floor of Congress, and this is from Floyd's summary of the debates, this is 1789, Mr. Madison said he apprehended the meaning of the words to be, that is, he understood the meaning of the First Amendment, the words to be, that Congress should not establish a religion and enforce the legal observance of that religion by law, nor compel men to worship God in any manner contrary to their conscience. So it's Congress that is being restricted here, and only Congress. That's what James Madison said very clearly. He understood what the First Amendment originally meant. Chief Justice Joseph Story wrote in his excellent work, Commentaries on the Constitution. This was in 1833. That probably at the time of the adoption of the Constitution and of the amendment to it now under consideration, that is the First Amendment, the general, if not the universal, sentiment was that Christianity ought to receive encouragement from the state so far as was not incompatible with the private right of conscience and the freedom of religious worship. An attempt to level all religions and to make it a matter of state policy to hold all religions in utter indifference would have created universal disapprobation. In other words, the people in the United States would not have tolerated any such approach that said government's attitude towards religions is that they're all the same. They would not have tolerated that. He continues, the real object of the First Amendment was not to countenance, much less to advance, Mohammedanism, by which he means Islam, or Judaism, or infidelity, which you'd say is atheism, by prostrating Christianity, but its purpose was to exclude all rivalry among Christian sects and to prevent any national ecclesiastical establishment which should give to a hierarchy the exclusive patronage of the national government. Notice very clearly how different that is than what we have today with the president saying, oh, good American, so forth, Muslims, fine, Buddhist, Hindu, whatever. No, that's not what our founders said. They said a good American. George Washington said this, a good American is a Christian who is promoting Christianity and following the teachings of Jesus. That's a good American. Now, it's not that those who were of other religions could have no freedom here. They could, but they had no freedom for their religious belief system to influence our law or influence our government. It was not to be. It was to be a Christian nation where non-Christians had freedoms, but it had no power to change our government. For example, you could not be a non-Christian and hold any office in the state of Maryland, even the office of notary public. You couldn't hold any office if you weren't a Christian up until, I think it was 1920, that you had to have a Trinitarian belief. You had to believe in heaven and hell. You had to believe the Bible is the Word of God. And Maryland's not that unusual. Many states across our nation had very clear requirements that if you were going to serve a public office, you had to be a Christian in your belief system. And if you were not, you were ineligible. Why is that? Because our Christian structure of law and government requires that those who uphold that law are understanding that it comes from God, the God of the Bible, and are seeking to implement God's law in our civil body politic. So this is a very, very, you know, to most Americans, most Christians today, it's like, what are you talking about? I was talking about my campaign and talking about what I stood for, and a woman at the state fair said to me, "Why, you're just like the Taliban. You're terrible. You're awful." And she was just very upset. I said, "Well, do you realize that you're saying that George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and James Madison, you list all the founders, all the signers of the Declaration, all the signers of the Constitution, say, oh, yeah, they're all Taliban." No, no, no. She greatly misunderstands that because she had an attitude that all religions are evil and no religion is good. Instead, our founders recognized freedom comes from Christianity alone. If you truly follow the Islamic law, there's freedom for no one. If you truly follow the Buddhist legal system, freedom for no one. Hindu, likewise. It's only Christianity that guarantees the freedoms even of those who are not Christians. If you live in a Muslim country that's following the Muslim law and you are not Muslim, you are basically a slave, or you are heavily taxed so heavily that you might as well be a slave in that system of government. It's only Christianity that gives freedom to all men. And our founders were explicitly Christian, even if, although from our understanding theologically, they were not Orthodox Christians. For example, Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin, they were not Orthodox Christians. They probably aren't in heaven today. Nonetheless, they identified themselves as Christians, and they stated that they believed the teachings of Jesus Christ were what should be implemented in the law of the country. Because it's the religious foundation that's essential. And if you remove that religious foundation of law, what do you have left? Well, you have tyranny, and it may be the tyranny of black robe lawyers who decide what they think law is. They think it's fine for people to, governments to steal your property, or it's fine to kill the unborn, or it's fine to kill the elderly, or Terry Schiavo, or whatever it is they decide. You live under a tyranny of one sort or another where your rights are not secure if you do not base those rights upon God's law as given to us in the Bible.
Well, I agree with you totally, David. And the idea that you can have moral people without some authority over it above those people is just totally ridiculous. I mean, this has been tried, you know, for thousands of years. It is those people who are answerable to God, who believe in a heaven and hell, who believe there's a punishment for, you know, lying and cheating and disobeying God's law. Those people will be moral people. People are not inherently good, no matter what the philosophers try to tell us. And this is the great problem of today, because most people really don't understand human nature, and that we are all sinners, and of course we're saved by grace, but it is because we are sinners that we need a Savior. And we're answerable to Him, not to government. Look at what's going on in Washington, D.C. today. Look at the Foley scandal. Look at the cover-up that's been going on for years by the other pedophiles and homosexuals in Congress for Congressman Foley, and realize the implications for the survival of America. When we see such total corruption at the highest levels of our government, we should restrict their power, and only by restricting the power of the government is there any hope for the retention of our freedom here at home.
Well, what began to change in America from that view of law and government and from that view of the First Amendment, what began to change about 50 years ago, actually, in 1947, one of the first Supreme Court cases, that the Supreme Court began chipping away at this understanding of Christianity being the foundation of law. And you've mentioned many times that that's because they put Masons, they packed the Supreme Court with Masons, and those Masons had a plan, an agenda. And that agenda was to destroy the Christian foundation of our land. And they have done that very successfully up to this point in time, but we can turn it back. They're not in power. The Constitution is still the supreme law of the land. one of the examples of how that misinterpretation of the First Amendment is carried out through the Supreme Court is called the Lemon Test. It was based on a case in 1971, Lemon versus Kurtzman. And the Supreme Court concluded that any statute must have a secular purpose. In other words, it cannot have a religious purpose. It cannot have a moral purpose. It must have a secular purpose. Secondly, they decided its primary effect must not be to advance or inhibit religion. Wait a minute, that's the exact opposite of what Chief Justice Joseph Story said in 1833. He said, it is the purpose of government to advance and encourage Christianity. And even someone like Thomas Jefferson, who most people would say, you know, Jefferson was, you know, at best a very weak Christian or a Christian, not a Christian at all. Nonetheless, do you know that he used state-funded missionaries? That is, he sent out missionaries to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Indians on the frontier using taxpayers' dollars. Thomas Jefferson did this because he believed that Christianity should be encouraged. It was the civilizing force in our land.
And isn't it a shame, maybe as we see us moving away from, you know, a civilization towards simply barbarity, maybe it's because we've turned our back on God. David, thanks you very much for being with us. We'll look forward to talking to you again real soon. Bye-bye.
America Discount Home Medical Equipment sells at discount prices. We sell wheelchairs, oxygen equipment, hospital beds, commodes, fast safety products, walkers, and other items needed for the care of your loved one at home. Our phone number is 1-800-956-6616. We sell at one half of retail price or less. We have free shipping and no sales tax for any shipment outside of California. You can expect to receive the item within 7 days. Our website address is www.home-med-equip.com. Again, our phone number is 1-800-956-6616.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones introducing you to the incredible Berkey Solar Charger, your source for free solar electricity. This portable system is the size of a book when folded and small enough to fit into a briefcase, handbag, or glove compartment. The Berkey Solar Charger has been designed to power the Berkey Lights LED lamps as well as other applications such as mobile phones, radios, digital cameras, and PDAs when electricity is not available. Its multi-voltage capabilities, multiple adapters, and rechargeable batteries provide for a flexible source of auxiliary backup power. Simply place the Berkey Solar Charger in the sun, plug in your application, and you have power. Disconnect your application, the system automatically begins charging its own rechargeable batteries. Get the incredible Berkey Solar Charger for only $75 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
Hey, ladies, if you love to shop, then visit HerbalHealer.com to browse through their online catalog. You'll find thousands of effective, alternative, and natural products for you and the whole family. Besides the amazing products you'll find, this shopping is guilt-free because you're investing in your health, and your health is priceless. While online, sign up to receive the Herbal Healer newsletter, which will keep you informed on the latest and greatest products in education. Did you know that Herbal Healer offers not only natural medicine, but also tension-relieving herbal teas, cookbooks, aromatherapy, products for pampering, and more great products to help you soothe and relax after a long day. Want to learn more for yourself and to help others in the future? Join the Herbal Healer Correspondence Program. You can work at your own pace from the comfort of your own home. This accredited, exciting program can help you gain skills and knowledge. Can you believe you can find all this at one stop? HerbalHealer.com, celebrating 18 years of dedication.
Well, let me stand back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and this is the time when I really need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and quite frankly, we need your help. We're getting marked increase in the cost of our shortwave program, especially on this hour. And quite frankly, we could use your help to keep doing what we're doing. If you enjoy our programs, we hope many of you decide you're going to give us a hand. And our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Then I do want to remind you that we are having our all-day seminar. It's going to be on the 29th of this month. It's going to be the last Sunday in October. And we're going to be bringing in Constance Cumby and Chris Pinto from Southern California and other speakers. It's going to be a great presentation. We've got a great lineup of speakers. We do hope that you can come. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or you can certainly get your reservation. You need it ahead of time, though. If you'd like to be coming from elsewhere, I'd be glad to send you maps or lists of where the various hotels are. But again, the telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. And we're looking forward to seeing you on the 29th of October there at the Radio Liberty Annual Seminar. And then, of course, we want to mention once again, we are trying to get Dr. Dennis Cuddy's excellent book, Secret Records Revealed, back in print. And if you'd like to buy a case of his book for $149.95, why, give us a call. And if we get enough pledges, why, we'll go ahead and get the book republished. Otherwise, why, we're not going to be able to afford to get any of those books republished. So it's really up to you out there. But I tell you, you get a full case of his books for $149.95. And books retail about $16.95, so we do hope that many of you will be interested in lending a hand. We hope many of you, of course, will want to go to our website, get the books we have, understand what's going on, understand the spiritual forces that are energizing of the organizations that run America. If you haven't seen my August newsletter, it's up on the Internet, or we'll be glad to send you one. It goes into the people who really control America, and they've controlled it for a long period of time. And these people hate the United States and everything this country stands for. And the only way we're going to be able to preserve it is for you to get educated and you to get involved. And with God's help, perhaps we can take America back. But are you willing to try? Or are you quite willing to send your sons and daughters off to fight in the Middle East in a totally fallacious war? Are you really willing to allow, you know, the situation to develop where we could have a nuclear attack on America and our cities could be turned into radioactive rubble? You think it can't happen? All you need is, of course, you don't need intercontinental missiles. You don't need intermediate range missiles. All you need is, of course, a tramp steamer going along our coast, lobbing missiles into our cities. And believe me, it can happen, and it can happen here. And if God is just, it is going to happen here. Unless we have a revival, unless people really care about our Lord and about freedom. Go to our website, get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Get the book, Hostage to the Devil by Malachi Martin, or get our four-tape set of interviews with Malachi, or get them both together at a reduced price. Get our information on what's going to happen financially. If you haven't read our syllabus on the financial tsunami or got the talk, it's either VHS or DVD, you need to. And you need to understand that we're facing the destruction of our country financially. If you'd like to understand how they're poisoning our children, how they're actually destroying the minds of our people, you need to get my material on the hidden agenda, the syllabus. You need to get, of course, the talk. It's available on VHS called The Hidden Agenda. Learn about water fluoridation. Get Chris Bryson's book. Get the four tape sets that we have. Get the other items we have, and help us get the information out across America. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. And our web page, radioliberty.com. We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones introducing you to the incredible Berkey Solar Charger, your source for free solar electricity. This portable system is the size of a book when folded and small enough to fit into a briefcase, handbag, or glove compartment. The Berkey Solar Charger has been designed to power the Berkey Lights LED lamps as well as other applications such as mobile phones, radios, digital cameras, and PDAs when electricity is not available. Its multi-voltage capabilities, multiple adapters, and rechargeable batteries provide for a flexible source of auxiliary backup power. Simply place the Berkey solar charger in the sun, plug in your application, and you have power. Disconnect your application, and the system automatically begins charging its own rechargeable batteries. Get the incredible Berkey solar charger for only $75 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free, 888.
This is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you of the views that are expressed here, and not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And our regularly scheduled guest, all we're getting is an answering machine. So, why give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. And we'd love to hear from you, of course, but I thought maybe this afternoon we'd talk about the coming elections, as we're hearing a lot about the upcoming elections in November, and it certainly looks like the Democrats may very well sweep the House of Representatives, and they might even take the Senate back, and there could be just a complete transformation, of our political system. Time magazine, apparently on the cover of Time magazine this week, they show a picture of an elephant representing the Republicans, but they show just the rear part of the elephant, the cheeks of the elephant there, and it says, gee, look at this mess. And the whole idea being the Republicans are going to get swept out of power, and the Democrats are going to get swept back into power. And ladies and gentlemen, it really doesn't matter. The leaders of both political parties are controlled by exactly the same people, and that is why they're in positions of power. And they will pursue the same globalist policies, the same policies on immigration, the same policies on the war, the same policies on big spending, the same policies on accruing massive debt, the same policies on centralizing all more power in Washington, D.C., and the same policies of the destruction of the dream of America. So you have to understand we have a one-party system at the present time, but they have to give you the impression that we have two political parties. Now, those of you who have never read Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, you really need to. The book was written back in 1966 by Professor Carroll Quigley, who had been a professor at both Princeton and Harvard before he went to Georgetown University, where he was President Clinton's teacher, and explained to Bill Clinton how the world really was run and the fact that there is a ruling elite. And Professor Quigley, of course, wrote a letter of recommendation for Bill Clinton to go to Oxford, and Bill Clinton became a Rhodes Scholar. Although he was only there 2 years, he never really applied himself fully, but he came back, of course, to the United States. But he always looked up to Professor Quigley, as did all of the students who attended his classes, because Professor Quigley was a unique and novel individual who had found out about the secret society that controls America. He spent 20 years researching it. Of course, the secret society was manifested here in the United States as the Council on Foreign Relations, which was a front for the secret society that had been created in Great Britain back in 1891 by Cecil John Rhodes, who had a dream A dream of uniting the world under a ruling elite. It was his old idea of noblesse oblige, that it was the white man's burden to rule the world and to rule all the common people within the society, and it was, of course, that secret society in Great Britain that birthed the Round Table, which became in Great Britain the Royal Institute for International Affairs, and similar organizations in Canada and Australia, New Zealand, and South Africa, throughout the British Commonwealth, and in the United States, the Council on Foreign Relations, and, of course, more recently, the Trilateral Commission, which controls every aspect of our government.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes Scholarship, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
If you're thinking about replacing your home's windows, think Sears. Custom replacement windows from Sears are low maintenance, tilt in for easy cleaning, and may also help reduce your energy costs. Add beauty to your home with custom replacement windows from Sears. Just call 1-800-393-8378 for a free in-home consultation. Call now and save $375 on select styles. Trust Sears for professional installation, convenient financing options, and best of all, with Sears, your satisfaction is guaranteed. Call Sears now at 1-800-393-8378 and save $375 on select styles. Offer ends 9/30/06. License number available upon request, not available in all areas. See associate or ask your consultant for written limited warranty details. If it's time to replace your windows, call Sears now, 1-800-393-8378. That's 1-800-393-8378.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit HerbalHealer.com and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. HerbalHealer.com, working with the power of nature.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, our regularly scheduled guest didn't show up, so it's going to be open lines. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and I've simply been discussing Professor Carol Quigley's important book. It's a book I first read back in 1966, and it was my first introduction to this idea that, of course, the whole electoral process was a fraud, that the same people control the leadership of both political parties. We see these people of great wealth funding the Democrats and funding the Republicans. And we ask ourselves, well, gee, that's a little strange. And then, of course, when we get the Republicans in office, why we find increased government spending, and we find, increasing national debt, and we find increasing centralization of power in Washington, D.C., and progressive undermining of the very tenets of our Constitution. And the Democrats are just furious, and they're criticizing what the Republicans are doing. As Bill Clinton, for instance, criticized George Bush for, his spending policies and for being soft on communism. communism and for actually refusing to do anything to the wicked communists at the Tiananmen Square tragedy back of, I think it was 1989. And then, of course, as soon as Bill Clinton got in, he did exactly what George Bush had done. And of course, you know, he was even more benevolent to the Chinese communists than the Bush administration had been. But George W. Bush, when he was running for president, was critical of Bill Clinton for his policies. And then when he got into office, he carried on all of Clinton's policies. Very little has changed, you know, whether we have the Republicans or Democrats in office. And actually, of course, we had far more fiscal responsibility under Bill Clinton than we have under the Bush administration. But people find it so difficult to believe that this could really be true. And yet, if you look and see what's going on, you'll find the same people in key positions in the bureaucracy and in government, whether the Democrats or the Republicans are in power. And, of course, we say, oh, if we could just get the Republicans in office, why, then we could change the Supreme Court and we could undo the problems we have. You realize that, of course, we have abortion and the Supreme Court is responsible for that. They've taken prayer out of our schools if we could just get conservative Republicans on the Supreme Court. And yet, seven of the present Supreme Court justices were appointed by Republican presidents. In fact, it's been that way for a long period of time, and nothing has really changed. And people don't understand that the Republicans have put the liberals onto Congress, that passed the abortion legislation, or at least took away the state's rights to regulate abortion, and that centralized power in government, and of course it undermined the very fabric of the Constitution of the United States. So when you understand that, you can begin to understand that voting for Republican is not going to get change the Supreme Court in one little bit. In fact, really what's almost frightening is the fact that, you know, we find people on the Supreme Court today who don't believe in the Constitution, who are quite willing to go along with centralization of all power in Washington, D.C. Well, telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. I wonder how many people out there in the listening audience really know it was in the legislation that was passed about 10 days ago on this military commissions legislation, supposedly so that we can, of course, continue torturing, or at least we wouldn't say torture. We're just going to make uncomfortable the people we capture. We can waterboard them. We can, you know, deprive them of sleep. We can humiliate them. We can inflict pain on them, but we wouldn't want to call that torture, would we? Because we're a Christian nation, and we wouldn't do anything like that. But we have to get the information from these wicked people, you know, to protect America. After all, we don't want to have another 911. But is that really represent a Christian nation? When you saw the pictures of what happened at Abu Ghraib and what happened at Guantanamo, where they really have ruthlessly treated these people, and I will tell you that the reason that they treated them so badly is because the small clique that runs both political parties is doing everything they can to inflame the anger and hostility and animosity of the Muslim world. And they're broadcasting these things into the Muslim world, and actually many of these satellites that are beaming the message of Al Jazeera, which is one of hatred of the West, to the Muslim countries are controlled by our own people. And right here in the United States, Telstar 5, which beams Al Jazeera into Muslim homes across America, inciting hatred of America, it's an American satellite. Why are they allowing it up their way? Very simply, because they want to incite the hatred. And until people understand that everything is being done to get the Muslims to hate the West, and the Christians, and the Christians to hate the Muslims, and I can understand why the Muslims would hate us, but we are supposedly Christian people, and when I hear Christians talking about how we have to go over there and kill those Muslims before they kill us, and I wonder what's happened to the teachings of our Lord. And, you know, there's a place for defending your country if we're really under attack. But do you really believe that our leaders believe we are under attack today and that we're justified in torturing people so that we're not attacked? If our leaders really thought that we were under attack today, don't you think that right after 9-1-1 they would have done everything they could to actually seal the southern border? Don't you really think that if our leaders really thought we were under attack, they would have done everything they could to make sure that every pilot on our planes was armed? And yet, instead of doing everything they could to block the arming of a pilot? If you really thought our leaders thought that there was a terrorist threat, wouldn't you think there'd be air marshals on every plane in the United States, every commercial plane flying here? And less than 10% of the planes actually carry air marshals, and usually, of course, the air marshals will tell you that because they're required to wear a suit and tie, anybody can pick them out, and they would be so very easy because of their dress for the terrorists actually to grab them and take away their gun and take over the plane if there was really a terrorist threat. But our leaders know that there's not a terrorist threat. Look, every Israeli commercial plane has deflectors on them in case there's a surface-to-air missile used against that plane. None of our planes do, because they're just too expensive to do that, and, oh, we wouldn't want to do that. We can't really try to defend our commercial airplanes against surface-to-air missile attack. You would think that if there really are these terrorists out all across America who want to kill us, as the president says, that at least one of them could have gotten a surface-to-air missile and at least taken it to one airport and down one plane. If our leaders really thought that there was a terrorist threat in the United States, wouldn't you think that every bit of cargo going on to commercial airliners with their passengers would be checked ahead of time? Do you realize that almost none of it has been checked in the past? And you have to understand that most of these threats has simply been contrived. This whole recent threat that they had, supposedly where the terrorists were going to build a bomb on board. We couldn't take any water, we couldn't take any liquids, we couldn't take a toothpaste, we couldn't take any eyewash, we couldn't take any liquids onto the plane, because there was this terrorist threat, and they had already arrested all of the terrorists, but it was all a matter of perception. It was all a matter of controlling our minds. And now suddenly they've changed, and, oh, it's all right to carry those things onto the plane. And, of course, they knew there was no threat. They knew that this acetone peroxide bomb that you were supposed to build, or they were planning to build, you would have to be in the laboratory for about 5 hours at a temperature of about 55 degrees Fahrenheit. You'd have to be there all that time to build a bomb. You couldn't build a bomb the way they were saying, and they knew that. But they were playing games with our mind. Everything is a matter of perception and controlling our reality, and the average American really doesn't understand. I mean, basically, if there were really terrorists, they could have come across our border at any time, and, to my knowledge, why, there have been no significant attacks in the United States in 5 years. If there was really the threat that we are told, and if we're really going to have to go over there and kill all those Muslims before they kill us, why haven't some of them come in here to attack us? We've killed over 130,000 Iraqi women and children since we brought peace to Iraq, since President Bush landed on the aircraft carrier and announced mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. And then, of course, what they did was they disbanded the Iraqi military and the Iraqi police force and the Iraqi civil service, and they created the chaos we have today. And then they did everything they could to block rebuilding an Iraqi army and an efficient force over there. So we'd have continued chaos. We left the armed militias, Shia militias there, who are acting as death squads going around and killing Sunnis. Within the last week, I read that large supplies of military hardware has arrived for both the Sunnis and the Shias so they can continue the war. And nobody ever asked who bought all of those military supplies for the Shias and the Sunnis, and how, when we have military controlled over there, were they able to smuggle men to the Shia and Sunni contingents there in Baghdad to continue this senseless bloodbath that's going on. And the only logical explanation I can come up with is it's Vietnam all over again. I mean, certainly in Vietnam, while we were financing, the United States was financing the Soviet Union, that built the largest truck manufacturing plant anywhere in the world at the Kama River, that built the trucks then that were used to carry the supplies down the Ho Chi Minh Trail in Vietnam to kill our boys in South Vietnam. Why would we finance the Soviet Union and give them massive amounts of money when they were financing the North Vietnamese during the Vietnam War? Who is it who's funding Pakistan, where the Taliban are organizing today, to cross the border from Pakistan into Afghanistan to kill the NATO troops and our boys over there. Who funds them? Why, you do, ladies and gentlemen. We are funding the Pakistans today, and I mean, it's all play acting, so much of what's going on. But we can't let the American people understand. Nothing as it appears to be. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our regularly scheduled guest didn't show up, and so I'm hoping you're going to call in here so, of course, we can have a little opportunity to rest our voice. But nothing as it appears to be. Because, you see, reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our Founding Fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
Admit it, the moral rot in America runs deep. Massive debt, rampant materialism, pedophilia by clergy, endless war, and yes, the sin of religious cannibalism. Communion was practiced by the Aztecs, Egyptians, Babylonians, and Gnostics of the mystery schools long before the Messiah was born. Due to carefully placed forgeries within the New Covenant texts, the worship of pagan gods prevailed. The church's sacred cannibalism service, known as communion, is based upon words the Messiah never said. The Savior was no cannibal. He lived and taught the Torah. See proof. Get the book. Communion, Bloodfest of Babylon today. Write to Two Witnesses Ministries, P.O. Box 2453, Abilene, Texas, 79604. Or call 325-572-3913. Yes, Gnostics did hijack the NT to fulfill their devious plan to make abomination look holy. Gnostic conspiracy exposed in Communion, Bloodfest of Babylon. Call 325-572-3913.
People who use Cartabite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartabite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartabite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartabite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822. 928-8822.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our guest, Dr. David Lohr, is here. And Dr. Lohr is a Unitarian Universalist minister. He's in, I believe, Austin, Texas. Is that right, Dr. Lohr?
Austin, Texas.
All right, fine. And of course, he has given a number of talks, you know. In fact, he gave one talk at his church that was so controversial about what happened on 9/11 that it created quite a stir. But under any circumstances, even though he's very liberal and I'm very, very conservative, I think some of the material he's come up with on the project for the new American century and his feelings about what is transpiring today, we would be in total agreement on. And so I thought we could perhaps talk a little bit about some of your views on what really happened on that fateful day in September of 2001 when we are told that 19 hijackers conspired, because it's really a conspiracy theory.
Right.
They conspired, of course, to hijack the planes, and they just happened to pick the very day when they were having all of these military exercises, and all of our planes, most all of our fighter planes in the northeastern part of the United States, had been sent out of the country on military exercises. And they just were lucky enough to have, you know, the military actually putting images, false images, in the on the screens there. In fact, if you read the latest article in the Vanity magazine, September of this year, you find out that a flight, American Flight 11, which had crashed into the North Tower, that plane, after it had crashed into the North Tower and the plane and the building was in flames, the plane kept sending the faulty messages back to NORAD and to the FAA. They say it was flying all the way into Washington. They could track it going into Washington. How could you do that? The plane was crashed and everybody on it was dead. Or at least that's what we're told. So, well, you pick up the story there.
Well, you know, this is such a tough topic. I just came back from a weekend meeting with about 18 other very, very, very liberal people, and we talked about it, and I think I was alone in the room, and others thought this is just insane to suggest that this was an inside job. So these are people I respect a lot. So this isn't about people being intelligent or stupid or the rest. I think it's people just being challenged at a very basic level to accept some things that none of us want to accept. So let me talk a little about how I see it, and I'll start with what you alluded to, which is that every single theory about 9/11 is a conspiracy theory. A conspiracy just means two or more people planned to do something illegal. So the question is whether the conspiracy theories that are out there make sense and hold up. And my sense is that the official conspiracy theory is the weakest of the bunch for so many reasons. You mentioned some. The 7/7 bombings in London have had a piece written on them. They also had police exercises that mirrored precisely what happened going on at the same time. And they had, and they're saying this was an inside job. And they had an actuarial scientist compute the odds of this, that such complex exercises could be mirrored by precisely the same complex reality at the same time. And the odds were astronomical. I think they were, and I don't have the paper here. I think he was saying there was something like five times the total number of grains of sand on Earth. So we're into the infinite. Well, if just having a complex horror mirrored by military exercises that were virtually identical to it going on at the same time, if just the odds of that were astronomical, then you start multiplying them by some of the other things that happened. For instance, what are the odds that 19 hijackers could get on flights when there were no Arab names on any of the flight manifests? I've never been able to get on a flight if I wasn't on a manifest. What are the odds that heat brought down three steel frame high-rise buildings when it has never happened in history before or since? What are the odds that it happened three times on one day, including Building 7 that really wasn't hit by anything? What are the odds that the only buildings that were brought down were the ones owned and very heavily insured by Larry Silverstein? What are the odds that the president's brother, Marvin, and his cousin, Wirt Walker Bush III, just happened to be
in charge of the security company responsible for the security of the Twin Towers, Logan Airport, and United Airlines. You know, just with these, we're already way into infinity. It just didn't happen the way the official story was told. And so I'm then left saying, you know, I'm a preacher, and I deal in stories. I deal in trying to find things that fit the facts together in the most coherent story. And for me, the most coherent story is about the New World Order. And it involves what we talked about the last time I was on the air with you, what, 3 or 4 years ago, I think.
Right, right.
With the project for the New American Century, which is also about the New World Order.
All right, hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment.
All right.
Pastor Davidson Lord.
If you would like a copy of this show, come to GCNLive.com and reserve it today. Or call toll-free 877-300-7645.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
Hi, I'm Bobby Likas with today's Car Clinic Minute. You're late for work when... Bet that wasn't on your calendar. So tighten your seatbelt, because when I come back, I'll share some tips on how to best prepare for that unscheduled meeting. I'm Bobby Likas, and I've discovered a fountain of youth for cars. One reason our cars get old before their time is the same thing that keeps them going, fuel. The carbon deposits left by fuel burned in your engine can choke off its air and fuel mixture, reducing efficiency. The BG Fuel Service removes harmful carbon buildup, dramatically improves power and mileage, and includes BG44K to treat the entire fuel system. To learn more, go to BGFindTheShop.com.
BG.
What you hear after a crash isn't your PDA pinging a reminder, but more likely a police siren signaling that your family safety meeting is overdue. So here's a crash course. First, buckle up. Recent statistics show that 80% of car drivers are doing it for an all-time high, but truck drivers fall short at 70%. Guess which group has more accident fatalities? Second, adjust seat so your head lines up with a rigid B-pillar versus the shatterable side window. And third, sit at least 10 inches from the center of the steering wheel. Like many unexpected events, exploding airbags can be a real pain in the neck. I'm Bobby Likas. Like us, you'll love us.
Oil is oil. Don't kid yourself. Technology makes better oils possible, like Royal Purple. Royal Purple reduces friction and increases film strength. Go to RoyalPurple.com and you'll find independent test results from North Carolina and Oklahoma State. Not hype, just facts. What's in it for you? Superior protection, fewer oil changes, more horsepower, torque, and better gas mileage. Find Royal Purple at Napa, O'Reilly's, your local high-performance center, and RoyalPurple.com today.
We'll let that right there, please. Well, Dr. Lohr was just saying that, he understands how many good people, I feel the same way that he does, that many good people find it impossible to believe that the story we were told about 19 hijackers conspiring to take down our buildings on the 11th of September of 2001, that story isn't true. After all, almost, 2,700 Americans died, and of course, why the government immediately went right after the terrorists, and as you'd expect them to do, the trouble is they didn't get the terrorists. They didn't even try to get the terrorists there in Afghanistan. They used that as a stepping stone to go to war with Iraq and now with Iran. And But it's so hard for people to accept this. But you know, Dr. Lohr, I think the thing that is most encouraging to me is the statistics show that probably somewhere between almost 40% of the American people are beginning to question what they have been told. And I think especially many of the young people realize that we've been lied to.
Yes. Yeah, and whether it'll make a difference, I don't know. I don't know. You know, in my pessimistic moments when I ask myself, can they get away with this, I think, yes, they can. Yes, I think they can. So right now I'm not optimistic, though I try to be hopeful. But I think these are scary times. We now have the laws, was the last thing Congress approved. We have virtually all the laws in place that the Nazis had in place in the 1930s. Our citizens can be arrested without charges, held without trial, exported, tortured, imprisoned, whatever. The signing laws that President Bush got through the Supreme Court had really nullified the democratic process. I think these are real scary times. And this group that I was meeting with over the weekend, and again, it was about 18 people I admire a lot, people that are probably all brighter than I am. And one of the questions that came up on the weekend was, is there an up? Is anyone seeing a clear path ahead? And none of us did. I think we were hopeful, but none of us saw a clear path. So right now I think I'm scared.
Well, I think that really everybody should be concerned about the military commission law, because basically they did something they have never done before.
Right.
And that is, they applied Article 3, Section 2 of the Constitution, that said that no court can evaluate this law, which allows torture and imprisonment and, you know, confiscation of property. No court can challenge this, because according to Article 3, Section 2 of the Constitution, if Congress here says that the courts can't, you know, look into this, then they can't look into it. They can't declare it constitutional or unconstitutional. And for the first time in many, many years, they've used something I think they should have used a long time ago on other issues. And they've used it on, I believe, the issue that we could all, liberal, conservative, right, left, can agree on. And that is, there's a move towards dictatorship in the name of fighting the wicked terrorist. And everything changed. Everything changed on September 11th. That's where we have to go back and find out what really happened, and why won't the president make a declaration saying, look, from now on, anybody who knows anything came forward, it doesn't have to worry. The no more secrecy laws, no more classified documents. We want the American people to learn the truth. Instead of, setting up a commission and putting all of his people on the commission so they could conceal the truth and then seal the records for 50 years so the American people will never know during our lifetime what really happened.
I grew up, and you grew up, under the shadow and the aftermath of World War II, and where the phrase, the good Germans, was a powerful phrase for me, and I imagine it was for you too. And the good Germans were the German citizens who knew what was happening and said nothing and did nothing. And for whatever reasons, that phrase all my life has been very powerful for me, and I never understood how on earth they could know it and stand by and watch it happen. And I think one of the most frightening discoveries of my life is that now I understand it. Now I see how it's happened and how easy it seems to have been.
Well, I think that it's so important that people really to go back and look and see what happened in Germany, because the same laws that Adolf Hitler put in place have been brought in here, even the same gun laws. They actually translated the gun laws from German, and they just translated it to English, and they became the federal gun laws here, according to Aaron Zellman, who would choose for the preservation of firearms, and he goes into that in great detail. Why would they take the exact wording of the German laws? Why, for the same reason that the CIA helped all the Nazis, about 10,000 of them, escape to South America and brought thousands more into the United States for scientific work on germ warfare, on psychological warfare, and on our missile program under Operation Paperclip, which most Americans have never heard of. I believe the same spiritual forces are at work in America today that were at work in Hitler's Germany. And I will admit, I'm concerned about it. But we have to try to bring it out. And what's really so concerning to me, Dr. Lohr, is that in Hitler's Germany, The church went right along with it. The Christian church, there were about 10% of the ministers who had the courage to speak up and say this is wrong, and the rest of them went right along with it.
That's right, and it's happened here. So few ministers anywhere speak out, but from where I see this, and you may see this differently, it's the far-right Christian churches that have become the equivalent of the German Christian church. And what happened in Germany after World War II, and this is a different subject, but I think it's an implication of it, was that Christianity lost its foothold in the German soil once people saw how easily it sold out to power. And I think that may happen in this country.
Well, I hope you're wrong, but I would not be certain of it. I really believe, of course, that right now so many of the churches are preaching exactly the same thing that was preached in Hitler's Germany. It was Romans 13, go along with the government. They preached Romans 13 in Hitler's Germany. They utilized that. It was encouraged by the Nazis.
Exactly right. We have a minister just 90 miles from me, Reverend Hagee in San Antonio, you know, who's on record, and you've heard this too, I imagine, urging World War III, urging a nuclear attack on Iran. This is a man who heads an 18,000-member Christian church. Words fail. This is so far beyond just hypocrisy and shamefulness. It's almost beyond surreal.
Oh, I share your concern, and I fear that there, and I'm getting these things all the time from conservative fundamentalist Christians, and I happen to fit into that category. And yet they're encouraging that we attack Iran.
Yes.
Why? I mean, we brought the Iranian government to power back in 1979. Why did we bring the government to power? Was it just so, for a time such as this? Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. 464-8295, if you're out there and you have a question or comment, you agree or you disagree. But whatever happened that day, I think the American people have the right to know. And I think that the families of the people who died have a right to know, and we dishonor them by refusing to try to find out what happened. And, of course, the people on the other side yell and scream, oh, you dishonor the people by questioning the official government conspiracy theory. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I agree with that. I was thinking about everything you were saying and trying to think of things to say with all of it. You know, when I you mentioned at the beginning that when I said from the pulpit back in February that 9/11 was an inside job, we had about 550 people there that day. It was two services. And about a third of the second service gave a standing ovation, though I would say it was a pretty nervous standing ovation. And somewhere between 2 and 5 people walked out, and they got very angry, but a whole lot more than 2 to 5 people were just stunned by this and stunned with the idea that this could be said. And I've heard, even in my church, which I love and respect completely, I've heard people that I respect say, oh, this has no business in the pulpit. You should not say things like this from the pulpit. And I'm not representing this as censorship. I understand why they say that. You know, if your life is tough enough as it is, most of the couples, young couples we have, both of them are working and they're raising kids. That's tough for anybody to do. They come to church to find some kind of centering and peace, and then here's this minister saying 9/11 was an inside job in a way that can threaten some of the few foundations there are left. So I think I understand why a lot of ministers don't speak about it. I do. And I understand why people think it's insane to consider such a thing. But I think that we have to consider thoughts that we never thought we'd have to consider, because the inside job theory, I think, makes more sense of the facts and a whole lot more than we've talked about than any other story that I can think of or know about.
Well, I stay away from most of the issues. I just talk about Building 7. I talk about the military exercises, that they suppressed any mention of it very intentionally and purposely. I talk about the passports. There's no way that those passports could have survived the one that survived the attack on the North Tower, the one that survived in Pennsylvania. Obviously, they were planted. Obviously, they knew who was going to be on the planes. I don't know who did it.
Yeah.
I don't know why they did it, but I do know that those passports could not have been survived, and they were planted. And if they planted those, then they lied to us about one thing. why they're lying to us about everything. Well, let's go to Steve, who's calling us from Salinas. Hi, Steve. How are you doing? And this is really a very, very sensitive subject. But I think it has to be brought out because if we don't get to the truth of what happened on 911, we're going to be in World War III and a world catastrophe. Go ahead, Steve.
I just have a couple questions, basically about sources. Question number one is there a relationship between the owner of the Twin Towers at that time and anyone in the federal government?
No.
And number two, are copies of the airplane manifests and those who died at the Twin Towers available publicly?
All right, Dr. Lorla, what about the first question?
Well, Larry Silverstein had owned Building 7 for quite a while, and he bought the leases on the rest of them, you know, I forget the numbers, 6 to 10 weeks, 6 to 11 weeks before 9/11.
And then he immediately took out insurance in case of a terrorist attack. That was amazing.
That's right.
That was amazing foresight on his part.
That's right. He took out a $3.5 billion policy. Now, this is $120 million in borrowed money that he used to buy the lease. Took out a $3.5 billion against terrorist attack and then sued. Now, I don't know whether the final award is settled yet, but he sued for $7 billion because he said the two planes were two attacks. I have read that he was awarded $4.6 billion, and someone told me, third hand, that they thought he'd got the whole seven. Either way, he made a killing on it, and they were the only buildings that fell, buildings right across the street that had massive damage from the collapse of the towers. Didn't fall. It seems that if the only way the building's going to fall is if Larry Silverstein owns it. Did he have connections to the government? This I don't know. The connection I've read, and now we're getting into real risky territory, but we'll do it, is that he was very close friends with the Premier of Israel and was in phone contact with him frequently. And what that brings up is a really important word that we need to deal with and diffuse, and that's the charge of anti-Semitism. And I think we need to make a distinction between anti-Semitism. By that I mean, I think it is always wrong and vulgar to say someone is guilty of something simply because, you know, they're a Jew or they're a black or they're a male or they're an African or whatever it is you're doing. That's always wrong. On the other hand, if someone is guilty of something, the fact that they belong to some other group can never stop questions. And I think that we need to be asking questions there. The other story that not many people mention, but that has intrigued me a lot, is one you can Google. If you just Google the phrase dancing Israelis, you'll read the news stories from 9/11 about the people in New York who called in to say there were some people in a white van who were high-fiving each other and whooping and celebrating as the towers fell. At the same time, an anonymous call came to the New York police saying there's some Arabs in a white van with explosives and they're heading for the Lincoln Tunnel. The police responded very, very well by saying a couple things. They said, why do you say they're Arabs? And they said, well, you know, they're Palestinians and they wear those sheikh things or turban things, which doesn't make any sense anyway. What the police did instead was go to all three escape routes, the Lincoln Tunnel, the George Washington Bridge, and what's the other, the Holland Tunnel. There was nothing going on at the Lincoln Tunnel, but they picked up two white vans on the George Washington Bridge, or at it. One contained three and one contained two Middle Eastern men. They took them, they arrested them, they held them for over 40 days. The men they arrested said, no, we're Israelis, and the story said that they had links to Mossad. They were released after about 40 days. They were asked what they were doing there. They confiscated their cameras, and I don't know whether it was digital or film. I think it was film, but they developed it, and sure enough, here's a picture of one of them posing with his lighter, you know, like flick my bick, against the background of the Twin Towers. They asked them what they were doing there, and they said, they're a documentary film crew sent to document the event. This was on 9/11. This story deserved front page coverage and a whole lot of pursuit. Is it all true? I don't know. But if it is, then I think we also need to be looking at links with Mossad.
But I think, of course, what they're doing is they're putting all of this information out here to confuse us. And there's some people who think it was the Mossad, and there are other people, you know, who think it was the Arabs, and there are other people who suggest it was some sort of an intelligence agency. And they've brought so much information here to confuse us. Actually, the Mossad, and we had read this many times, the Mossad had actually warned the American government that the attack was coming, as had the German government, and as the Moroccan government, as the Jordanian government, even the Russians warned us the attack was coming. There were Pakistani children who were actually in New York who brought their cameras to school that morning so they could take pictures of the 911 attack. But the FBI and the CIA were 99% sure the attack was going to come overseas. Do you really believe that? Everything is being done to confuse us.
Yes. Well, it's working. I'm confused.
Steve, do you have any other questions you'd like to ask?
Yeah, just one more thing. Where can I get is there publicly available copies of the manifest for 9/11, the three planes?
They were actually published on the Internet right after 9/11. I saw them there at that time. I did not pull them down, I'm sorry to say, but I know they were up on the Internet. I suspect they're still there.
And I don't know about a list of the people killed in the towers. I don't know anything about that.
I've been trying to find that since 9/11, and I cannot find anything.
All right, fine, but thanks very much for calling.
Thank you. Right. I appreciate it.
All right. There is so much information being put out all the time. And, you know, the Jewish people were told to stay at home, and yet about 400 people who died in the Twin Towers were Jewish, including many Kleinberg's husband. So they're trying to throw us off the track. When you see a pattern of frank disinformation that's aimed at confusing the populace, you know that somebody's manipulated. And as Gershard Edward Rene, the father of modern-day propaganda, said, you know, we are governed, our minds are molded, our tastes are formed, our ideas suggested largely by men we have never heard of.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, you need to get to the bottom of this. We'll talk more about this when we get back from the break here, right here at Radio Liberty. Hang on there for just a moment, David.
America Discount Home Medical Equipment sells at discount prices. We sell wheelchairs, oxygen equipment, hospital beds, commodes, fast safety products, walkers, and other items needed for the care of your loved one at home. Our phone number is 1-800-956-6616. We sell at one half of retail price or less. We have free shipping and no sales tax for any shipment outside of California. You can expect to receive the item within 7 days. Our website address is www.home-med-equip.com. Again, our phone number is 1-800-956-6616.
Berkey Security Pack is your one-stop solution for unexpected emergencies. It provides you with purified water, light, power, and communications ability. The Security Pack includes a Berkey Light water purifier, an LED base, two Berkey Sport filtration bottles, the Berkey battery adapter, the Berkey MP solar charger, as well as a backup set of two Black Berkey purification elements. The Berkey Security Pack is important every day and a must during emergencies because it provides purified water, long-term low-energy lighting, backup battery power for your Berkey LEDs, free long-term solar power for communications devices such as radios, walkie-talkies, and cell phones, as well as power for small applications. Get the one-stop solution for your emergency and everyday needs. The Berkey Security Pack, a retail value of $518 for only $399 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Not yet available in Iowa.
According to the American Diabetes Association, more than 18 million people in the U.S. have diabetes. Most people with diabetes have risk factors such as obesity, high blood pressure, and cholesterol, which increase their risk for heart disease. For example, more than 65% of people with diabetes die from heart disease or stroke. Finding out you or your loved ones have diabetes can be scary. This is why, as your trusted online partner in health, we are committed to bringing you products that help you make informed decisions about your health. At researchherbs.com, you can learn more about GlucoCare, a highly effective and safe natural herbal supplement formulated specifically to help maintain optimal blood sugar levels. As with all products featured on researchherbs.com, GlucoCare is the result of several years of rigorous development and is backed by numerous clinical trials and experimental studies. Visit us online at researchherbs.com or call 1-800-845-3841 to learn more. That's 1-800-845-3841.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when we need to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we do not know what happened on 911, but we do know that there's no way that those passports, one, could have escaped from the North Tower, gotten out of the pocket of one of the terrorists, and out of the flaming wreckage of the plane he was in, and, out of the flaming records there of the North Tower, and just floated intact down to land on the street a block and a half away from the North Tower, picked up by a passerby, turned over to the police, and then becoming part of the evidence to show who one of the hijackers was. And the same thing happened at the site there in Pennsylvania, where a flight 93 supposedly crashed. But if you look at the pictures, there's just a big hole. There's no records there. How could that have happened? There are lots of unanswered questions, and we need to find out, or we dishonor the memory of the people who perished. I believe there are powerful spiritual forces behind everything going on today that are intent upon taking us into World War III. Are you concerned? Because of Henry Kissinger said, and recently in an article, op-ed page article in the Washington Post, we have two alternatives: a new world order or the potential of catastrophe. And I think he's absolutely right. We only have two alternatives unless we understand that Henry Kissinger is part of the elite who run us, our government, who want to create a world government. And Henry Kissinger, according to an article in West Magazine, was, along with Robert Strange McNamara, a frequent visitor to an occult center in Colorado called La Baca Grande. What was Henry doing at the occult center, along with Marie Strong and Robert Strange and McNamara, the man who sent our boys to fight and bleed and suffer and die in Vietnam, but never allowed to win that war, which he says now, I knew we could never win it, so why didn't you try to stop the war? Why did you let them all die and then lose the war? And, of course, I believe it was planned that way. I believe it was a great diversion, just as the war in the Middle East is a diversion, and as our boys go overseas to fight for freedom. We lose our freedom here at home. Ladies and gentlemen, please go to our website of RadioLiberty.com and pull down the material that's there. You can copy our newsletters, get the newsletters, and circulate them. You can get them made at Kinko, get them made wherever you can. My August newsletter is very important. You need to get the crystal pamphlets we put together, made up of the newsletters, that will give you ready access to the information. You can have it at your fingertips. We hope that you go to, certainly that many of you will consider coming to our all-day conference. It's on the 29th of October at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course, and we're bringing in speakers from elsewhere, and we hope that you can come. And, of course, we're going to be, Constance Company's going to be there, Chris Pinto, who actually produced the award-winning video of the Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. And you must understand that there really were secret organizations in America at the time America was created. They actually have a temple over in San Jose. You can go over and see it. It's the Rosicrucian Temple. What's Rosicrucianism? You have to understand how all of these things fit together. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get Professor Quigley's book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time. And, of course, if you come to the seminar, they'll all be there, or you can order them by going to our website or by calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, we ask that you give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters and helping us. We do hope that many of you want to get the Berkey products. You know, if we have an emergency situation, you need to be able to have a water that you can actually drink. And, of course, you're not going to be able to get it through regular channels. You need a Berkey water filter. And, of course, you may just want to get it to get the fluoride poison that they're using to destroy the minds of our children out of your water. And if you doubt that, you go to their website, EPA website, NTEU280.org, NTEU280.org, and read what the scientists of the EPA say. They'll tell you they're poisoning and destroying the minds of your children.
If you're tired of spending a small fortune every time you fill up, now you can do something about it. Ethos FR, a product used all over the world, has reported savings of up to 19% on gas and even reduced emissions of up to 30%. Ethos FR is easy to use and works with any kind of fuel, including gasoline, diesel, and ethanol. Ethos FR works by reformulating the gas in your tank to burn more completely, resulting in a cleaner engine, better mileage, more power, and fewer emissions. So visit ctsafegas.com and start saving today. That's ctsafegas.com.
Are your federal...
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
On the Information Radio Network, I'm Laura Lee Scholl. Prosecutors and Lee Malvo's lawyers say the convicted Washington area sniper wants to strike a new deal to plead guilty to other sniper shootings. Malvo's lawyer says he's looking for a global resolution before the 21-year-old is sentenced for six Maryland shootings next month. U.S. efforts to curb North Korean nuclear cells may have been given a boost. Mike Gracia is in Washington.
The Bush administration is now mulling over its options after North Korea's announcement of a nuclear test. The administration had been considering tightening economic restrictions against Pyongyang for some time, and the U.S. proposed stringent United Nations sanctions Monday in response to the nuclear test. Among possible sanctions would be banning the trade of military and luxury items, inspecting cargo entering or leaving North Korea, and freezing assets tied to its weapons programs. Meantime, the administration remains opposed to North Korea's demand for one-on-one talks.
This is IR